Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you, our listeners, hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and if it's 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel live, and you can reach out to us right now at 844-322-2742. If you have a Bible question or some issue you're dealing with and would like to discuss it, well, now's the time to call. 844-322-2742 in the U.S. and Canada. Call now because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Do you know what day today is?
Tuesday.
Well, it is Tuesday. It is the 11th of February. So we got
that,
all of that,
information
out. Yeah. But it is Make a Friend Day.
Oh.
And I heard that this morning, and I thought about you because you have always said, as far as our radio broadcast is concerned, that we're here to make friends.
Yes.
And some people can call, and they may have differing opinions, and they want to argue and all of those sort of things. You have always said, let's take the mindset of making friends. Let's be friends. And that's something that has stuck in my mind. And I want to say thank you for that. And thank you for being my friend.
Well, thank you for being my friend. You've been a steadfast one for a lot of years. And it just kind of spills over, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And here's the great news, too. Jesus had this conversation with his disciples. He said, I no longer call you servants, but I call you
friends. Yeah.
And Abraham, we see the Word of God describes himself as a friend of God. The Word talks about Moses being a friend of God. And we have that relationship with him as well through Jesus Christ. And that's wonderful. So many people see themselves as merely servants. They're trying to work for God. They're trying to earn his good favor. They're trying to earn his acceptance. They're trying to do everything in their power to get God to look their way.
Yeah.
But when we know that we're friends, when we know that we're children of God, that we're a part of the family, we can rest in the fact that this relationship is secure, and it has been secured by the work of Jesus Christ. And our old friend Major Ian Thomas was one of the most delightful characters I've ever had the opportunity to meet. He was just a brilliant speaker, has some of the best books on the market, The Saving Life of Christ probably being his most important and most popular work.
Yeah.
But he said this years ago, and it was just a part of his presentation wherever he went. Jesus Christ died for us then. So 2,000 years ago, Jesus did something, but he did something then to make something happen today.
Yes.
And here's what he would say. He died for us then so that he could live in us today. So we ask the question, why did God go to all that trouble to send Jesus to die on a cross so that he could forgive our sins? Because he had a greater purpose in mind. He wanted to deal with the sin issue once and for all so that he could come and live inside of us, so that he could be with us forever. The garden was established, was created by God. He put Adam and Eve in the garden, and then he indwelt the garden. He lived there, and he enjoyed a relationship with Adam and Eve in the garden. So the first dwelling place of God on earth was the garden. And then we see sin interrupted that, and Adam and Eve got booted out of the garden. And so there was a disconnect between God and man. But we see God work through Abraham and said, hey, there's a plan in place, and through your seed, the world is going to be blessed. And that promise went on to Isaac and then to Jacob and then all the way through to Jesus Christ. We see Moses building a tabernacle as a part of the law. And when he built that tabernacle, at the very end of Exodus chapter 40, God filled that tabernacle with his presence, with his glory. Then we see some 500 years later when Solomon built the first temple in Jerusalem, when he dedicated that temple, the glory of the Lord filled it just like he did the tabernacle. So he was saying that, hey, there's something in place that is being built It's called the dwelling place of God, and at a point in time, God is going to take up his rightful place in that new building. Yes. Well, it's not a building made by hands. It's something that Jesus Christ is putting together. It's called the body of Christ, and we have now become the new dwelling place for God. So how did that happen? Well, he had to die for us then. Jesus had to die for us 2,000 years ago. He had to cleanse us so that we would be clean, holy, righteous, living vessels for God to take up residence in us. So why is it important to know that your sins have been forgiven so that you can fully embrace this relationship that you have with God the Father and recognize that he is always with you?
Yes.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, with the promise that he will never leave you nor forsake you.
Indeed.
So he died for you then 2,000 years ago so that he can live in you today. Folks, this is the good news of the gospel.
This is good news.
Yes, it is.
It's the kind of news you hear every day on Basic Gospel, everybody, and we're glad that you're here to partake of it today. Thanks, Bob, for those thoughts. 844-322-2742, a toll-free call in the U.S. and Canada. We want to hear from you. If we have about 6 or 7 minutes after 3 p.m. Central Time, it's Basic Gospel Live, and the lines are open for you right now. 844-322-2742. Bob, you know there are 6 words that comprise the most important declarations we will ever hear. They are, "It is finished," and "He is risen." And friends, this month on Basic Gospel, we're focusing on the first 3 of those words, "It is finished." That's the title of the 6-message series by Bob Christopher that looks in depth at the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross for you and for me. But what does it actually mean for you? Well, we invite you to join Bob as he fully details what Jesus has done, that you understand his total sacrifice on your behalf, that you rid yourself of fear, guilt, and shame in regard to sin. That's important, friends. It is finished, and we want to send you a copy as our way of saying thank you for your gift of support to Basic Gospel this month. Request your copy when you donate at basicgospel.net. Again, you'll find a prominent link right there on the homepage, basicgospel.net. Well, once again, 844-322-2742. Let's go to the phones right now, Bob.
Hi, Bob. Thank you for accepting my call. My name is Brandon. My question is basically on 1 John 1:9. Some people think it's for unbeliever. It's not for believer. And some people say it's also for believer. And that the cleansing here that in 1 John 1:9 is not for salvation, but for justification. So if you have a chance, please answer my call. Thank you very much. You have a nice day.
Well, Brandon, thanks for calling, and thanks for that question. 1 John 1:9 is one of those verses that cause a lot of confusion, because when you read passages like Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. When we read Colossians 2:13, that those who are dead and trespasses and sins that God made alive together with Christ, he forgave all of our sins. 1 John 2:12, I write to you, my little children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. You see that once you have come to Christ, then the forgiveness issue has been handled once and for all. You have received forgiveness of sins, not partial forgiveness, not temporary forgiveness, but total, complete forgiveness of sins. All of your sins, past, present, and future, have been taken away by the blood of Jesus Christ, have been forgiven once and for all. And as the writer of Hebrews says, as a result of this, God remembers our sins and lawless deeds no more, and where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin.
Uh-huh.
So as believers in Christ, we are forgiven people. That's the good news. So you come to 1 John 1:9, and it reads this, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So there are many people that will take that passage lifted up out of the context and say, hey, Christian, when you sin, you need to confess that sin, and then when you do, God will forgive it, and he will cleanse you of that unrighteousness that you just did.
Yeah.
Well, so many people have interpreted that way and have called it the Christian's bar of soap.
Right.
Well, when you drop it right back down there in the slot and connect it to its context, it paints a different story. So in 1 John 1:8, we see this: if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Christians don't say that. They don't say that sort of thing.
Right.
They speak the truth. But lost people will say this: I have no sin. Well, if they're saying they have no sin, guess what they're doing? They're deceiving themselves, and the truth is not in them. What's the truth? Well, the truth is a person, mm-hmm. and that person is Jesus Christ himself.
Yeah.
In verse 10, it says, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So there's people who were saying back in that day that they had not sinned. Well, when they said that, what does John say about them? They're making God out to be a liar, and his word is not in them. So what's the solution to those two verses? What is John's appeal to those folks who are saying they have no sin, or those folks that were saying they had not sinned? Well, he was saying, well, if you will confess your sins, if you will agree with God, and that's what the word confess means, to say the same thing as, if you will agree with God concerning your sins, you're going to find that he is faithful and just. Now, he's always faithful and just.
Yes.
His faithfulness and his justness is not conditioned on your willingness to confess. He is always faithful and just. But when you recognize the truth, when you say that you are not without sin, or that you have sinned, if you confess your sins, then in speaking that truth, you're going to see something about God that you didn't know before, that he is faithful and just. And here's what he's going to do. He's going to cleanse you and forgive you of all your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So basically, this is John, the Apostle John, extending an apostolic invitation to those who were denying their sins, who were deceiving themselves, who were making God out to be a liar, to see the truth and to receive this forgiveness, this cleansing, so that they could be a part of the fellowship of believers, so that they could have fellowship with God and with the Son.
Yeah.
That's what this passage is all about. So it is not a passage to believers. It is a passage to unbelievers.
Yes, right.
We as believers, we confessed our sins.
Mm-hmm.
We confess that Jesus Christ died for our sins. We confess that he sent him away once and for all. And we thank him for the forgiveness that we already have in Christ Jesus. Those who are lost, they're going to struggle with this.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to admit the truth. Why? Because you're fearful of the repercussions. What if people find out exactly who I am? What if people find out exactly what I've done? Multiply that a million times.
Yeah.
When you think about God. What if he finds out what's really going on inside of me, like he doesn't already know?
Yeah.
What if he finds out what I've really done, like he doesn't already know? He saw it 2,000 years ago.
Yes.
When Jesus took upon that sin upon himself. There are no secrets from God.
No.
So don't try to pretend that you can hide from them. Get the truth out there.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get the truth out there, you're going to find God to be completely different than you ever imagined. You're going to find him to be faithful and just. You're going to find him to be a God who not only loves you, but a God who forgives you. That's exactly the type of God that we worship in Christ Jesus, one who cleanses us so that we can have fellowship, relationship, and enjoy his love and life forever.
Absolutely. That is good news, Bob. Thank you for sharing that. And Brandon, hope that's a help to you. If you have further questions, don't hesitate to reach out again. Again, 844-322-2742. And of course, Bob, when people understand the passage that you just read and come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, that's a bridge to eternal life. And we had this question that kind of fits right into that from Elijah, who is a YouTube viewer. He says, how long is eternal life? And part two of the question, if you die in sin, can you lose your salvation? At the outset of the broadcast, we were talking just before we went on the air. You said eternal life is forever and a day. So
that's a long time.
That's a good long time. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting. You can talk about something as far as quantity, and so when we think of the word eternal, we want to know how long that lasts. Well, you're not going to be able to measure eternity. You're not going to be able to measure a start and an end. It just goes on and on and on. So there's the quantifiable kind of thought about eternal life, but then there's also a quality of life. You know, when folks get older and they're diagnosed with certain things, the question comes up by the family, by physicians, by the patient itself, about the quality of life. I may not be able to live as long as I want to, but the days that I do have, I want it to be a high quality of life. And I think when it comes to eternal life, we need to think in terms of quality instead of quantity. And here's the reason I say that. It's John 17, verse 3. So, folks, if you have never read John 17, 3, let today be the day that you open up your Bible to the Gospel of John, the 17th chapter, and read this amazing verse. This comes from Jesus' high priestly prayer. It's at the very end of his life, before he's about to be arrested and handed over to the rulers and eventually crucified, buried, and then on the third day was raised back to life. But he's praying this, and he's praying for himself. He's praying for his disciples of that day, and then he prays for us. But in this passage, in verse 3, he talks about eternal life, and he says, and this is eternal life. So this is where eternal life, that phrase, is defined for us. And so Jesus says, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. So when it comes to eternal life, and we think of it in terms of quality of life, It's defined as knowing God.
Yes.
It's defined as knowing Jesus Christ, not just knowing about him, not just having some facts in your head about what the Bible may say about God or what the Bible may say about Jesus, but actually knowing God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son in a personal, intimate way, having experiential knowledge of who they are in a relationship fashion. So eternal life is forever and a day, if we want to think about longevity, but it's more important, I believe, that we think of it in terms of quality. And the quality of life that we now have as a result of being made alive in Jesus Christ is that we know God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son, and that changes us from the inside out.
Yes.
That makes us stand out in this world of darkness. Why? Because in knowing Jesus, we know that he is love, we know that he is mercy, we know that he is forgiveness. And as we grow in our knowledge of who he is, we're going to start reflecting that out into the world. That's just the nature of this eternal life that we have, the quality of life that we now experience as believers in Christ. So it's not something that we wait for in the by and by.
Right.
By and by. It's not something that happens at the moment that we die physically. we begin to experience eternal life the moment that we receive Jesus.
Yes.
The moment that Jesus gives his life to us, we begin eternal life. We begin at that very moment to grow in our knowledge of Jesus, the quality of life that is eternal life, as Jesus defined it in John 17:3.
Well, Elijah, we hope that's a help to you. Thanks for reaching out to us. And, you know, friends, here at Basic Gospel, we know that there are concerning issues that you deal with every day. Issues like, how do I forgive a person who has done me wrong? Or what happens when I die? And those are just a couple of the issues Bob Christopher addresses in the videos posted on our YouTube channel. And you'll find them at basicgospel.net/YouTube. We hope you'll take advantage of these resources that can free you of the concerns you may be dealing with every day of your life. It's all there for you, and it's all free at basicgospel.net/YouTube. And be sure to tell your family and friends about these very, very important videos. Well, Bob, we had this question that came in. This is from Walter, a Facebook viewer. He says, what do you say to those who do not know the exact moment they came alive, as when their belief really took Christ at his word?
Well, that's a great question, and one that I was able to address on a Facebook Live event last night, but I thought it important that we talk about it today on the radio broadcast as well. There are many people that I've met through the years who can't pinpoint an exact time when they responded to the good news of Jesus Christ.
Yes, I struggled with it one time.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But you kind of asked the Lord to reveal that to you.
Exactly.
And that he distilled it down to
exact
a couple
moment.
Of weeks, and then you figured out the exact moment.
Right.
So those who know that they are in Christ and know that they've been made alive together with Christ, they may not be able to pinpoint that exact moment in time, but they can certainly look back to a period of time, maybe
right.
a week, maybe a month or something, and they know in that particular time frame something happened to them, something changed. They crossed over from death to life. So that's one category of people who aren't quite sure of when, but they know, they're very sure that mm-hmm. something happened.
Sure.
Then there's another group of people. They're not sure when it happened, but really underneath that uncertainty is they're not sure that it ever happened at all.
Mm-hmm.
They're not sure that there was ever a point in time that they received Jesus, that Christ gave his life to them and made them alive together with him.
Mm-hmm.
So they're wrestling with that, and they're wondering, well, what's the answer to it? Well, the answer is today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts and respond to the good news. Let today be your day that you come alive in Jesus Christ. I can't tell you the number of people that I've talked to through the years who have said up front that they were Christians, but weren't sure when all of that happened. Mm-hmm. But when I explained to them the full story of the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, helping them see that salvation is more than forgiveness of sins, more than just receiving a golden ticket that's going to grant you entry into heaven when you die.
Yeah.
It's about being made alive here and now. It's about Jesus Christ coming to live inside of us. When they hear the full story, they say, I've never really heard that before. I've never responded mm-hmm. to the true gospel of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Well, today, do you want that to be your response? Absolutely.
Yes.
And they've come alive.
Absolutely.
So if you're uncertain, let today be your day that you come alive in Jesus Christ.
Indeed. Thanks, Bob, for those thoughts. And friends, thank you for being with us today for Basic Gospel. If you have questions concerning anything that you've heard, give us a call at 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you. We always will welcome your call. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. And once again, we so appreciate everyone who helps us keep this message of grace in Jesus Christ on the air and online. Thank you. And if you haven't joined us yet, we'd like to have your partnership as well. Come alongside alongside of us by donating anytime at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow, same time, same station, for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.